Oh, this camera is really bad.
Cool
It's
it, cool.
not, my camera is bad.
The recording has started. Hello, everyone. Today I'm going to do something slightly different from the norm when I have my show. I have a co-host today, someone who's going to introduce me, or rather interview me, and I'm kind of excited about it. She's my sister. And she is a woman who has a great deal of talent, but the thing that she's really good at is business coaching. I'm excited for her because she has decided that that is the area that she's going to go into. So if you know someone who needs a good business coach or someone who is interested in having a speaker who can talk on business, then I'm going to definitely recommend my sister, Nora Jackson. Nora has been a member of the business world ever since she got into the job market, and there's probably nothing you could ask her that she couldn't possibly answer. So she will be interviewing me today because we're going to do something slightly different. As you know, I have been gone for a while, and you'll learn why during the course of this interview. Hi, my name is Luana Parker, and I am the host of Courage to Live Your Dream. Today, my sister Nora Jackson will be doing the interview. Nora, take it away.
Well, hello, Luana. How are you?
I'm doing great now. I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed still, but otherwise, I'm doing just fine.
Well, tell us what's been happening with you in your life.
Well, as you know, of course, in February, I lost my husband. And that was a devastating blow. He had cancer, and the cancer came back. We always knew that it would probably come back someday, but when it came, it was a lot faster than we had anticipated. So it started in November when we got the word that there was a possibility that it was coming back.
Okay, so how have you and your family handled the change?
It's been rough. I've been blessed because I have three sons, and one of my grandsons, who are raised from a baby, who has been my rock and foundation. And I don't think I could have made it without them. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what happened. When we found out about the cancer, we really thought there was going to be some time. We anticipated we had a few months, or at least a few weeks, in which we could come to grips with it. But as it turned out, after going through the tests, he had to take some ultrasound tests and several other things that that turned out to be well. For him, it was very telling. He thought he would be able to fight it as he did before. I shared before about him having the cancer 11 years ago. And at that time, they told him he had about 6 months, maybe a year, to survive it. But my husband, being the kind of man that he was, and you can see his picture here, always a happy person.
Great picture.
Thank you. He was determined that he was going to fight this. And he told the doctors, he said, until the man upstairs, until God himself said his time was up, he didn't accept what they were saying. And so he went through the chemo and the radiation treatments. And as you can see, my husband is a big man, or was a big man. And he became like skin and bones during the course of those treatments. But he took them anyway, and he held on and he fought it. And the cancer went away.
Wow.
We were truly blessed because we got 11 years before it decided to resurface.
Well,
And
how long were you married?
while we were together over 50 years,
Wow.
a long time to be with one person. Definitely longer than I was ever with my family. I was blessed to have him for a husband. He was a good man. And we had four wonderful sons. And I mentioned three earlier. That's because we lost one back in 89. And took me a while to get over that.
Right. So tell us something about him. Could you tell us something about some of his interests or some of the things that...
Oh, well, one of the things that he used to be very interested in, and that was playing whist. He could play whist all day and all night. And that used to get on my nerves. I mean, it bugged me because I thought, hey, wait a minute, what about me, you know? But that was his thing, playing whist. As he got older, of course, he got away from the whist and he obtained other interests. But that was the big thing he was known for. He was very good at it. He had a partner whose name is Archie Parks. And they, when the two of them played together, the chances of you winning was slim and none. They were that good together. But he loved sports. He had played football in school. And as an adult, he loved sports, pretty much all sports. So, of course, when cable came out and they had sports channels, there weren't too many games that he missed.
So you were together over 50 years. I'm sure you must really miss him now, right?
Yes, I do. Even though I knew the cancer would come back one day, it still caught me off guard because he was in good health. He had some problems. Ulcers started coming on, and that scared us for a while, but he licked that. There were times when he had bouts of respiratory problems, and he had allergies, but he always came back from those things. Even though some of them put him back in the hospital, he came back from those things and was able to be himself. And people who knew my husband just loved him to death because he was the kind of person that if you were his friend, there was nothing he wouldn't do for you if it was within his power. And so to have this happen to somebody who had so much strength, who was always a happy person, who loved life, enjoyed things so much, and to have it happen to him was devastating for all of us. What I am grateful for, though, is that when we found out that this time he wasn't going to be able to fight it, and I notified all the children and his sisters and brothers, he was able to see all of them because everybody came. His sisters and brothers came to visit him. Our children were there, our grandchildren, even the great-grandchildren were there. So he got to see everyone in those last few days that he had here. As I said, it caught us by surprise. We thought we had a few months, at least a few weeks. But it was like in January when they told us that we have to do something now because it's really spreading. And in between the they were going to do some more tests, and we thought they were going to be able to find something that would work for him. But instead, they told us there was nothing they could do. And if he were to take any more, try to do radiation or chemo as he had done before, it would shorten what time he had left. That was a devastating blow for us. And it was as if, in that short period of time, it seemed like it was about 3 or 4 weeks when they told us that. And I just saw him going down. I saw a man go from 253 pounds to where he was, I'd say he was about 200 pounds when he passed away. And it was For me, it was really hurting to see this man who I had depended on for so many things and who was always there. He was like the rock for me and my sons and grandchildren. And suddenly see him going down that way, that was hurtful.
I bet it was. Wow. So has there been anything else that you've been going through lately? I know things after the death of a close one, a loved one, besides the emotional stress, and sometimes it creates financial stress and other kind of stresses in your life.
Well, you're right. There are emotional stress, and I've been fighting those because it's so easy when someone who's been around you is suddenly no longer there. You find yourself, you're in a sad place, and that's to be expected. But you kind of have to be careful because you become, I don't want to say depressed, because it's not really depressed, but it can lead to being depressed.
Yes.
You're in a place where you feel like nothing is ever going to be the same, which of course it won't be. You feel as if you don't have what it takes to move forward. And I had to fight that. And I'm still fighting it because it still comes over me. It's only been a few months, a couple of months or so that my husband passed away. So I'm still fighting it. But I am blessed because I have children who are trying to make sure that I don't fall in that place and stay there. And part of the process for me was to get back out in life. And I have friends who have stepped up and are there for me. They have offered to do things for me. And that's a great feeling to know that people care enough about you that they want to be there to support you through what you're going through. In fact, I've had several who have gotten on my case because they've told me, you know, we're here. Ask us for what you need. Don't try to hold all that in and do it by yourself. And that has been a big savings for me. Having lost my mom, I lost a sister, lost my dad, and several years prior to that, I'd lost my son. That was the time when I fell into a really bad place, and my whole life changed from that. So I didn't want that to happen this time. So I truly appreciate the fact that my children are supporting me. In fact, I have to keep reminding them that I'm the mom, and they are the children, but I love the fact that they have been peppering me, so to speak. You know, it's been great.
Well, do you have any advice for anybody else that might be going through something like this?
Don't just sit around and mope. It is so easy. And I almost fell into that myself, just to mope about what was and what was not going to be any longer, what I could no longer do, because there are changes that when someone passed. So don't mope. Talk to friends. If necessary, join a bereavement group where you can voice the things that are on your mind, the things that are hurt, and find out that you're not by yourself. That is so important. Don't be by yourself. Share what you're going through with others. Let your friends in. They're not always going to know what to say to you or how to say it, because until they go through it themselves, they don't truly know what it is that you're experiencing, but they do want to help. And so don't shut them out. Include them in the things that you do and ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for help or embarrassed to ask for help. Let people help you. That will keep you from falling into a state of depression, because it can happen so easily. And as much as I love my husband and the fact that I now miss him, I know that he would not want me to be laying around doing nothing and thinking about what could have, should have, would have been if he was still around. So please don't do that.
Right. Well, is there anything that I can do?
Well, you're doing it now. I really appreciate the fact that you are helping me with this interview. I had actually started to just talk about this, and I thought it would be better if someone interviewed me, because they could ask me the questions that maybe I wouldn't think of, the things that needed to be shared. So I appreciate the fact that you stepped up to the plate and you were willing to do that for me.
Okay. But you know what? When someone close, like a husband dies or a wife dies, if you know that they are terminally ill, is there anything that you would suggest to people, some business or things that they need to take care of?
My gosh, yes.
Make sure that transition goes smoother.
I'm laughing because that is one of the problems that I ran into. I had not realized that some of the things that he was taking care of, because I just depended on him to do it. I didn't thought about it. And suddenly I found out there were things he was paying for as far as the family was concerned that I was not aware of, or how much he was spending. And so the financial situation for me changed drastically, because suddenly we went from a two-income household, even though we both were retired, we went from a two-income household to a one. And now I had expenses that I have to figure out, how am I going to pay for these things? How am I going to take care of them? Because some of them were things I can't just drop them. I can't just let them go. I needed to be able to keep going. So my advice, when you know someone is terminally ill, find out about insurance policies. Make sure you know about the bills, what needs to be taken care of. Are there passwords to things that you need in order to access some of the information? There's so much that we didn't think about. And so I've been picking my way through things, trying to get us back on track, or get me back on track. I keep saying us because it's difficult for me to sometimes to believe that he's not still around. And indeed, sometimes I feel like when I'm sitting here in the house that I almost hear him stirring, or if I hear a noise at the door, I think it's him coming home. So it's difficult to think that he's not here. But I've just sidetracked there. Getting back to the fact that, yes, take care of those personal businesses. You need to know about those things, because once they're gone, it's too late.
Right. It's harder to find that information out once they're gone.
Yes.
Okay. So is there anything else you want to share, or anything else about the process that would help others to make it through?
Well, there's so much I could talk about, but let me ask you a question.
Yes.
A couple of years ago, you lost your ex-husband. And even though the two of you had divorced and were no longer together, I know that you still had a good relationship. How did you get through that?
Right. A lot like you, it was a shock. Right. I had spoke to him 3 days before I was called and told that he was in the hospital and that they were trying to get in touch with his children. So I was like, what happened? And nobody knew what happened. He had just passed out. So after work that afternoon, I rushed over to the hospital to see what was going on with him. And there he was, lying in the bed with all the life support equipment on him. And everybody seemed to just be waiting around to see, you know, what the doctors are running tests and this and that and the other. And so I was just there with the family. The family had finally gotten in contact with, and we were all there. Mm-hmm. We hadn't seen each other for a while because we had been divorced, but we were still friends, and we didn't have any children together. So we were married about almost 10 years. So what happened after that, 2 days later, I'm coming back to the hospital to visit him. No family member, the family members were gone, and they sent me to his room. And there he was lying in the bed, looking the same as the last time I saw him 2 days earlier. And I spoke to the nurse, and I said, "Nurse," I said, "well, how's he doing?" And so she told me that, well, he was pronounced deceased yesterday.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
I remember you telling me about that.
Right.
Still a shocker.
Right, because he was deceased actually the day that I saw him, the day I went to the hospital. He was deceased when he came to the hospital. And I really didn't know that they don't pronounce you deceased right away sometimes. Mm-hmm. So they waited 3 days, and then that was the end. And I was just shocked because I was the only one there. No family member, none of the other family members were at the hospital that day. And I was surprised. I would go, "Oh, I'm the only one here today." Right. And so the reason he was still on life support, that was surprising, is because he had donated his organs to save a life. And that was the kind of person he was.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So they had to keep him on life support to save the organs for his donation. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it took me some time to get past that, and at least a year
mm-hmm.
to get over that shock. Right. And that was one of my closest friends. And like you say, my mom passed away, my sister, my father, and all of these people who are close, very close, are passing away these days.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was just emotional stress. We weren't married, so I didn't have the other things, the financial things that married couples probably had going on, mm-hmm. things that they had to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you for the interview today to help me get through this. I felt this was important because I needed the people who have been following me on my show to know what had happened, why I suddenly dropped away. And it's also important because there are others who may be going through the same thing. In fact, I know there are others who are experiencing some of the things that I've been experiencing myself. And my hope is that by sharing this, that there's someone out there who will hear it, and perhaps it will be of some great benefit to them. I just want you to know that you're never alone. I hit my family, and I'm greatly appreciative for that. But I'm also very grateful for the fact that because of my belief and faith in God, that was the rock that has helped me up through so many things. And this was no different. He's been there with me from day one. And making sure that I'm okay. And as some of you know, you may have heard already, I am stepping back out in the limelight or in the realm of the living, I decided to attend a conference that was in Texas. And so I'm one of those people who don't care for flying. I prefer to drive wherever I'm going. And I chose to drive from California to Texas for a conference. Had a great time. I want to give a shout out to my friend Tim Gillette, who was extremely supportive. His wife and his mother were wonderful people to me at that conference. And I met some wonderful people there who haven't found out what had happened because Tim shared that information. They were there for me. They came and it was wonderful. So I had a great time, but it helped me to be able to get back out there. And I want that for everyone else. family, friends, if you're have a church goer, not trying to push anybody into going, but being a Christian has been a tremendous help for me, and I wouldn't trade that for nothing in the world. It helps sustain me in the things that I need to continue on. So find whatever it is that you need to keep you going. Don't give up on life, because life is a gift. It's one of the greatest gifts that God can give you. And if you're still here, that means he has something for you to do. So get out there and find out what it is and do it. thank you again, Nora, for the interview. Are there any last words, something that you'd like to share with the audience that perhaps I have neglected to say?
Can't think of anything. I like that. Life is a gift. And one of the things that we all must remember is we only have one.
Yes.
We're not like a cat. We don't have nine.
That's true.
We only have one.
And we need to discuss that. Yeah. Amen to that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, this is the Courage to Live Your Dreams show, TV radio show. I want to let you know that our format will be changing. Our next episode will be different from what it's been in the past. I'll let you be surprised to find out what's going on. I will say one of the changes will be that we will be speaking to some authors. Those who know me know that I love to read romance stories. So I am going to have some authors come on who write those wonderful books that I so enjoy reading, and have them share how they got started and what keeps them going and how they come up with these amazing stories. So until the next time, everyone, and with my co-host today, Nora Jackson, myself, LaWanna Parker, we thank you for being a part of the program. Look forward to you being a part of it next time. And remember, you can always check my blog out at www.lawannaspeaks.com. Take care.
Bye.